All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn together to the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we'll begin at verse 51. John 6, verse 51. And the Bible says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let's bow our heads. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Charles Christian if he would lead us in prayer at this time.
Dear Lord, we're thankful today, Lord, for these scriptures that's been read. Lord, we ask you that you'll bless them to our hearts, Lord. That you'll be bless Brother Bill as he expounds upon your word this morning, Lord. We ask you that you'll anoint him with your Holy Spirit, giving, Lord, the words that we need to hear today, Lord. Lord, we ask you that you'll just be with each one here that hears the word this morning, Lord. That there be a lost one here, Lord, that something might be said or done that will cause them, Lord, to come to thee before it's everlasting too late. One that's backslid, one that's away from you, Lord. Lord, we ask you that something might be said that will cause them, Lord, to come to you before it's everlasting too late. These favors we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, it's just kind of human nature, but people will follow somebody for a while and they'll stop following. Some people will join a church for a while and then they'll quit going to that church or go to another church, or they'll quit going to church altogether. And sometimes you can get discouraged in that, but the Bible says this, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And so our confidence shouldn't be in people, But who should our confidence be in? It should be in the Lord, not in the people. Because if you put your trust in people, you're going to get discouraged. If you put your confidence in me, you're going to get discouraged. Because I'm going to let you down. You're going to let me down. We let each other down because we're people. We're flesh. That's how it is. We're all sinful. We're fallen. We make mistakes. But what's interesting to me is here Jesus, God in the flesh, the greatest one to ever walk the earth. The Bible says that there was those that quit following Him, that turned away from Him. They walked with Him and they saw His miracles. They heard His teachings. They heard the Son of God speak. They heard His voice. And yet they quit following Him and they turned away. You know, even the Apostle Paul talked about those that turned from Him. If I go over here to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I look at verse 10. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. He said this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." You know, Paul said there came a time that he stood and nobody stood with him. All men forsook him. You know, Jesus said, it says this about Jesus in Mark 14:48. "And they all forsook him and fled." You see there, everyone forsook Jesus. Everyone forsook Paul. What makes people forsake the Lord? What makes people start on the journey and turn away? Here we see where people are walking with the Lord, these disciples. Now, we're not talking just about the 12. Jesus had many disciples. There were many that were following with Jesus besides just the 12. But here, many of these others, they're walking, and all of a sudden they decide they're no longer going to walk with the Lord. They're like Israel. They decide they want to go back to Egypt. What makes people start the journey and then want to go back? Well, I'll tell you what I think it is. I think there's several reasons. I think for the first reason is this. Many of them weren't saved. They just simply were not saved. Let me ask you a question, church. Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Has there been a time in your life when the Lord has changed you, that you have given your life to Christ and God has changed your heart? Has there been a time in your life that you've been... Now, I didn't ask you if you've joined the church. I didn't ask if you've been baptized. There's a lot of people in hell that have joined churches and have been baptized. I'm asking you, have you been born again? Has God changed your life? Have you been saved? That is the question. Many of these people have not been saved. You see, that's what Jesus is talking about. See, His words about salvation was too hard for them to understand. If you go back here to what we were looking at earlier, look at John chapter 6 and verse 48. Look at what Jesus said. "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am that living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And that bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now see, Jesus is talking about the fact he is the living bread. Just like in the Old Testament, when the Lord sent manna down from heaven and sustained Israel and kept them alive, Jesus is the living bread that keeps us alive spiritually. Now, he's not talking about physically eating his body and drinking his blood. There's a spiritual connotation of that. But when you are born again, when you are saved, when Jesus saves you, you are taking Jesus into you. You are internalizing Jesus. When you are saved, Christ becomes such a part of you. It's like you have eaten him. He's such a part of your life now that it changes you so much. Friend, I want to remind you that we are all sinners. Every one of us have broken God's law. And we need a Savior. We need to be saved. We need to be born again. There isn't any of us that are good, that are right, that are righteous apart from the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 14 and verse 3, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. None of us are good before God. We're all sinners. And I say that word all. I'm including myself and I'm including everybody that's lived. We are all sinners before God, and we need a Savior. We need to be saved from our sins. We need God's help. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. There's a price for our sin. There's a price that needs to be paid. Because we have sinned against the eternal God, we all deserve to pay a price for that sin, and that is hell. That is the price for our sin. The whole message last week from John 3 is Jesus said over and over again, ye must be born again. When you go back and you look at what he was saying to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is making clear for us, there is just simply no way that I can go to heaven or you can go to heaven apart from being born again. You must be born again. There's simply no other way. If you look at what it says in John chapter 3 and verse 36, and look at these words very carefully, John 3, 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so the Bible again is making it clear for us that we must believe on the Son, that without the Son, there is no life, but God's wrath abides on us. Now, I want you to get this, church. Listen, if you're not born again, you're going to wish you were never born when you die. And that's as simple as that. If you're not born again, you will wish to God you were never born to begin with. When you leave this life and go into the next, you'll wish that God never let you ever be born. Because that is how bad hell is. See, Jesus, the Bible says, the wrath of God abideth on you. If you're not saved right now and you're not right with God, let me tell you, God's wrath abides on you right now. You're in danger right now. Now, let me tell you why I'm telling you some of the scriptures. God loves you. I'm warning you from the Bible. You need to make things right with God today while you can. God is showing you mercy. You need to make things right. Romans 5:9 says this, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The only thing that's going to save me from God's wrath is the blood of Christ by being born again. Nothing else is going to save us from the wrath of God. Without Christ, there is no salvation. Without Jesus' sacrifice, there is no hope. Now, if I go over here to Mark chapter 9, and look what it says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 43. Mark chapter 9 verse 43. Listen to what Jesus said. And I know this upsets people. And people don't like to hear this. But it's the truth. Mark 9, 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that is never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into halt into life than having two feet and be cast into hell, where the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. See, church, you don't want to go to hell. Jesus is telling you, whatever it takes to keep you from going to hell, you need to do that. You don't want to go to hell. It's the worst possible place imaginable. God could not have made anything worse than hell. It's as bad as it gets. And we do not understand how bad it is. Our minds cannot grasp how bad hell is. Hell is an eternal place that God has made, prepared, the Bible says, for the devil and his angels. Wasn't prepared for man. My finite mind cannot even begin to understand how bad that place is. And Jesus said, whatever sacrifice you have to make to avoid it, you do it. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And you know, if you keep on going, in Matthew chapter 13, and Matthew 13 has a lot about this. Matthew 13 verse 47, the Bible says this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathereth every kind, which when it is full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall be the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, Brother Bill, I don't believe in hell. I just don't believe that's how it is. You can believe whatever you want to believe. And I'm not going to condemn you. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Just understand that you're calling God a liar. Because God said in His Word that there's a hell. And at the end, there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And He called it a furnace of fire. That's what He said. That's not what I said. That's what He said. See, Jesus made it very clear. In John chapter 14, in verse 6, Jesus said this. And these are very familiar verses. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. If you want to go to heaven when you die, there's one way. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. When Jesus said you must be born again, when you must believe on Him, when you must surrender to Him, Jesus is saying there's only one way to get to heaven. It must be through Him. Acts 4:12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's none other name. Jesus said, I am the light, I am the door, I am the way. Your only hope, church, is in Jesus Christ. And I know people don't want to hear this. People reject this because they want to make their own way. They want to make their own religion, and they think they can do it some other way by their own good deeds. And a lot of people, they want to serve a God that lets them live however they want to live. But I'm going to tell you, that is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible does not allow us to live however we want to live and go to heaven. It just isn't that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now I want you to hear this. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Now listen, you can deceive yourself, and you, others can deceive you, preachers can deceive you, this world can deceive you, but God's Word is telling you, do not be deceived. Don't be fooled. Listen to what it says. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor coveters, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's what God said. You can't live how you want and go to heaven. That's what God said. That's not what I said. God said it Himself. We have to submit ourselves to His Word. How we live is important. Over in Acts chapter 17 and verse 13, listen to what the Bible says. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Acts 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Whereas people can tell you can live however you want, the Bible says God's commanded all men everywhere to repent. Now I know a lot of people think that their good works is going to outweigh their bad works. When they die, they'll go to heaven. If their good works just outweigh their bad works, they'll be okay. And a lot of people think, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. But I already showed you in the Bible. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. God's already made it clear that none of us can say that we're good. None of us. There's only one good. And who's that? Jesus. God. He's the only one that's good. There's none good but God. But if you go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, you're going to find out everybody that tries to go to heaven by being good. They're all there in Revelation chapter 20. And everyone that thinks that they can go to heaven by being good and their good works outweigh their bad works, they're going to find out the hard way. And this is awful. This is so sad. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There it is. There's the dead being judged by their works. They want to be judged by their works. There it is. God's going to give it to them. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. Do you see what the Bible's saying? If your name is not in the book of life, it didn't matter about your works. How do you get your name in the book of life? You have to be born again. You have to come to Jesus and be saved. If you're not saved through Jesus, your name is not in the book of life. You want to do it through your works? The Bible shows you what happens. You don't want to go to that judgment, friend. You don't want to end up there. You don't want to end up there. And you see, this, when you hear this kind of preaching, this kind of teaching, this offends people. They don't want to hear that. But it's true. It's true. And you know what the Bible says about the truth? It'll set you free. Because when you know the truth, you know what the truth is. It'll set you free. When the disciples, these false disciples, when they heard this, notice what the Bible says happened to them in verse 60. John 6:60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" They didn't like it. They didn't want to hear this. And then Jesus said this in verse 61. Doth this offend you? Does it offend you? See, many are offended by the Word of God. And they're offended by the truth. But I love what it says in Matthew 11:6. It says this. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Those that want to hear Jesus' words and they're not offended. Look at verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that should believe not and who should betray him. You see, Jesus knew already that some of these people that were so-called disciples, some of them, they didn't believe. They really didn't believe what Jesus said. You know, you can go to church and not really believe. You know, you can be baptized and not really believe. You can join the church and not really believe. You could even walk with Jesus, see his miracles, and hear his teachings, and not really believe. And that's what you have here. They walked and they didn't believe. And Jesus knew who they were. Have you made a decision for Jesus? Has Jesus changed your life? And I ask you, friend, have you truly been born again? And can you remember the time that God has changed you and he changed your life and you went in a whole different direction. Had he been born again? But you know, there were others here Jesus talked about. He knew who didn't believe, and he knew who should betray him. Have you betrayed Christ? Are you one of those that have betrayed the Lord? That you started one way, but you've turned your back on him and went the other? Oh, I think there's a lot of people that have betrayed Jesus too. They say they love him, but their life doesn't show it. That's betrayal, isn't it? Jesus knows who's betrayed him. That's what it says there. You keep on down to verse 65. It says, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father." Then you get to verse 66. You see this. "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." From that point, you see where some of his disciples, they said, "You know what? We're not going to walk with you anymore." And they went back. And they quit following the Lord. You know what? You get on down here to verse 67. And I love what Peter does here. "Then said Jesus to the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that thou art sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, Peter doesn't always get it right, does he? Sometimes he messes up. And sometimes he talks too quick. But I say Peter did good here, didn't he? Peter was asked a question and he said, "Where should we go? You have the words of eternal life." And I think when Peter stepped up to the plate here, he knocked it out of the park. I think old Peter hit a home run here. I think he did great. He said, "There's nowhere else to go. You're the only one to go to. You have the words of eternal life. You're the only way to heaven. Well, who else could we go to?" I think Peter said exactly what needed to be said because his faith was in Christ. And I ask you, is your faith in Jesus this morning? I just want to read some last verses. John chapter 1. Verse 10 says this. "He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." If you're not saved this morning, and you know you need to be, I want you to know something. There's power in the blood of Christ to forgive all your sins and give you a brand new life. And you may say, "Well, Brother Bill, I have all these things I struggle with. I need to take care of these things first." You don't need to take care of those things first. You need to come to Christ first. There's power in the blood of Jesus to overcome every sin. You come to Jesus, He'll help you repent and get rid of all those sins. You come to Christ, when you're born again, He'll give you a new nature and a new desire. He'll make you a new person. And there'll still be battles, there'll still be struggles. But you'll notice, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. There's power with Jesus to be different. There's power. He can give you that power that you need. You know, when you look over here in Matthew chapter 26, one of my favorite little parables that Jesus ever told, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 24. I'm sorry. I'm getting there. Matthew 13, 45. I was close, wasn't I? Matthew 13, 45. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, and when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." You know, That's what it's like getting saved. When you realize that you need Jesus and you don't want to go to hell, and you realize that's the most important thing is going to heaven, you'll give up everything you need to give up to get that pearl. And whatever cost it is to you, you'll do it. That's what it's like getting saved. I'm willing to give up anything for Jesus. That's what it's talking about. You know, as we close, the Bible says here that Jesus said one last thing about one of his disciples. He said in verse 70, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" You know, it's not good when the Lord calls you a devil. That's always bad. And he spake this of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. When you think about Judas, you think about what he did. This is what Jesus said about Judas. "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." And of course, he's talking about Judas going to hell. You know what's interesting about Judas? Judas being one of the 12 disciples. I don't believe Judas was ever saved because Jesus called him a devil. But what's interesting is none of the other disciples ever questioned Judas's faith. And you know, when Jesus said to the disciples, "One of you will betray me," you know, none of them pointed to Judas and said, "I bet it's him. I bet it's Judas." What did the disciples do when Jesus said, "Is it I?" They all doubted themselves. None of them pointed to Judas. None of them thought he was one of them. He could do something like that. But yet Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He was lost. One of the 12 walked with Jesus, went on into hell. And Jesus said to him, "It had been better he'd not been born." When I read texts like that, you have to ask yourself, you have to examine your heart, examine your soul. Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you given your life to Jesus? Now, again, church, I'm not asking if you're a member of our church. I'm not asking if you're a Sunday school teacher. I'm not asking if you're a deacon or a preacher. I'm asking, have you been saved? It's the most important question you'll ever ask. Are you born again? It's the most important question. Have you been saved? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We're going to close now. And as we close, I'm going to invite you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you've not been saved, you simply pray and you believe in Christ and you ask the Lord to save you, and He can save you right where you're at. You can come up here and pray. I can pray with you, but you don't have to. You can pray where you're at. But I encourage you, if you're not saved, I encourage you to come up here and pray. I'll pray with you. I encourage you to do that. But you can pray in the pew. But you pray and ask the Lord to save you. Let's all stand together.